We will hear Mariana Patricia from Natural Resources Department of Geophysics Institute of UNAM in Mexico City. Her specialty is volcanoes. And her title of her participation is Reflections About Being and Not Being a Scientist. And someone else will read the text that she has sent. In Spain, there's highlands. There are prehistoric monuments of rocks piled up that were honoring the sky. There's a temple from the 11th century built above these stone sculptures. The temple is connected to the forest. The chapel within is not a manifestation of ecclesiastic power, but it's a sacred space. This is a metaphor of Juan Bosco in a conference in 2005. We say that the study of science and the object are not manifestation of relationships that have arisen and have broken down the hierarchy and bureaucracy of ways of doing science. Reflections of being and not being a scientist. Good afternoon. Thank you for listening to our words with the aim of reflecting on the experience of scientists, which is common to Mexicans and people all over the world, although they have different conditions depending on where they are and how dire the situation is. They have the same problem. The political regime, economic situation, is trying to concentrate capital in the hands of a few through despoilment and other ways of oppression of the rest of the people. In this context, we ask, what's a scientist and what should a scientist be doing to respond to the question, be or not be scientist? Science uses techniques, languages, to explain the world and human activity through technology, which stimulates through accumulation of knowledge, brain activity. A scientist uses lots of different processes organized in the scientific method to respond to a question, but this was not always the case. The scientific method didn't always exist. Previously, scientific method was more like philosophy, and there was no way to address the humanistic concerns of scientists. But the tools, the instruments were refined to become what we now know as the scientific method, to allow for development of science more than ever before. So it is said that science is not good or bad, and how good or bad it is depends on the people that uses it. But this is ridiculous. This was implemented by people who use the atomic bomb, for example. to be able to wash the hands, free themselves of guilt. But what is correct? Develop science with social, for social purposes. It should be at service of society.
Puede ser un segundo.
Can be turned into a product, an offer in the market, in which most of the budget do not have the intention of development, but to produce a product and put it in the market in the best case scenario, and to develop bombs in the worst case scenario.
In this way, we build worlds that only foment consumption, not science. So a scientist who receives a military budget to design arms is not promoting anything for society. So this doesn't belong in science. There's another series of questions. Building walls. For example, a quota paying for prestige. There are certain prestigious journals, and if someone wants to be prestigious, they have to publish there. We don't charge to publish. If we want to publish there, we have to pay. This is privatization of knowledge, which at least in Mexico uses public funds. And this knowledge is not shared widely. So it stays in a small community that monopolizes knowledge. Science is developed. In a very circular way, responding to interests of capital. There are different ways of resisting. For example, we have to remember someone who said that, someone that decided to build a public website and hack all these articles. This is Sci-Hub, which has thousands of articles available to anyone who wants to use it. Of course, there are legal demands to this person who was trying to just obtain social justice. This was a woman against capital, global capital. There are many ways of resistance. All are legitimate. We want to not forget the social meaning of science and knowledge. Diffusion. Diffusion is the most important tool of scientists. A scientist that doesn't share their knowledge is part of the problem. And in the example of the atomic bomb, this is what happened. But we have to reformulate the question, why be a scientist? We believe that it's to broaden the understanding of the world, and this is our motivation. Because as we transmit knowledge, we form thoughts. For example, here we're discussing things and we're greeting each other. We know what our posture is, what our position is. We are trying to direct the path of science. We have not researched why Pozol makes you strong, a local drink. we talk about volcanoes. So in trying to understanding volcanoes, we've found walls. In trying to do science for humanity, volcanoes don't have budget and walls and campaign, media campaigns. Volcanoes are just a consequence of movement of the earth and gases escaping. Although the volcanoes don't know about walls, those who study them do. Mexican scientists are going extinct. We are adapting. Before the species disappears, it adapts. And young people don't realize that they're adapting. Many scientists just aim to survive by following conventions and not think about resisting or confronting. We'll give a concrete example of a wall within science. These walls are built by capital. Sometimes they're subtle and sometimes they're glaring. We try to show that the type of science that a scientist carries out is decided day by day. There are some areas of science are linked with society and some seem less linked to society's needs. With respect to studying volcanoes, we use maps. But cartography, we use lots of different tools to carry out maps, which are a graphic representation of the Earth. There are many uses for them to show the territorial division of a country or the bodies of water or mountains or how many inhabitants of each language in a certain area. Everything that can be measured or counted can be represented in a map. There are many definitions of maps, not just to visualize the world, but to build the world. Maps require specific technical tools. They're a cultural tool in social historic processes of civilization and influence the perception of its inhabitants. Reading a map is interpreting one's cosmovision. Maps confront different walls. Like now, they can be a tool of resistance. How did maps become a tool of resistance? In many countries, a lot of these maps are not public, or at least they're not free. Unless there's considered as a public surface, a citizen pays twice for this. First, upon generating the maps through paying taxes, and then paying again to use it. So licenses to use maps restrict their use. Many citizens don't have the use of them and also can't correct errors in the maps. So now there are maps that are used by certain platforms like Google. And the copyright is not always, the person who you made it is not always acknowledged, and they're not. There's a book, History of the World in 12 Maps, about the anthropological use of maps from a German person is trying to set aside Eurocentrism. He tried to represent the Earth in a often we see, when we see a map, it seems like Europe is much bigger compared to other places in the world, but this is not accurate. This map was generated to help navigation and fomented conquering other parts of the world, and it was distorted. What we call countries in development, like in Africa and South America, this person tried to show that when we take a globe and try to make it flat, there are many distortions. Another person he's mentioning a bunch of different people who have done different maps in over the different centuries. For example, a map of Jerusalem with monsters, or another one of Central Asia, emphasizing the natural resources. Someone was someone says Google doesn't reveal data of their codes. I'm sorry, he's reading a quote, and there's, I can't follow it. There are organizations that are developing free access maps. OpenStreetMaps, okay, different names of free access maps. Different collectives all over the world are subversively doing open access maps and not restraining themselves to conventional ways of understanding maps. For example, areas affected by mining, or by flooding, school mapping schools without classes because of lack of public funding, or because of areas affected by civil wars or exploitation of resources. Mapping things that haven't been mapped before. In Mexico recently, with the earthquakes, a lot of scientists have shown that political and economic interests are not responding to people's needs. After the earthquakes this past year in Chiapas, Oaxaca, Puebla, Mexico City, people all over the world in different organizations and different using different strategies. For example, in social networks, tried to generate maps, free access maps of the affectations of the earthquake. So they developed maps of damages and responses in certain areas. One of the most difficult tasks if Mexico City has a catastrophe, more people can assist with responding if they would have more access to these kind of tools. So there are websites with information that are not accessible with respect to the damage and the response of the earthquake. Now we have free open data for everyone, and including students, volunteers. Everyone is part of this movement of open data with respect to the earthquake. Even as the emergency was occurring, many people were not recognizing the civil society assisting, who were directly responding. We asked, should we be a scientist or not be a scientist? We think that we should, if we are science, should have the only objective of benefiting society. We have to never stop sharing information. The second one. Problems are universal, endemic, but sharing knowledge and creation of new knowledge are more important than the structures that limit them. So we need people who are committed to resist, scientists who are committed to resistance and not just getting by with the system that has already existed. There's a volcano in Chiapas. So someone who is exploring this volcano, some people like the beaten paths. But when you go off the beaten path, you see prettier things. So we have to go on new paths, and we should do it collectively.